get older, losing my hair many years from now? Will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I've been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
The first song Sir Paul McCartney ever wrote was a whimsical look at aging, which he called When I'm 64. The song became a hit for the Beatles in 1967, but it had been in the band's repertoire from the time McCartney wrote it as a teenager in 1958. His youthful perceptions were correct as far as they go, making mention of physical ailments, life slowing down on a fixed income, and the quest to remain useful and relevant. One wonders, though, how differently Sir Paul might have approached the subject had he written the song in his elder years. Perhaps his perspective on aging would have sounded something like Solomon's in the concluding chapter of Ecclesiastes. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of misery come, and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and light and moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds dissipate after the rain, in the day the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when grinders stop because they are few, and those peering out windows grow dim, when doors are shut in the street and the sound of the mill fades, when one arises at the chirp of a bird and all their songs grow faint, when they also are afraid of heights and of dangers on the road, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and the caperberry fails to excite, for a man is going to his eternal home, and mourners go about in the street. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is crushed, or the jug at the cistern is shattered, or the wheel at the well is broken, then the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Evanescent vapors, says the preacher, all is futility. Older people resonate with this poetic treatment of the sunset years. After living so many decades, one day flows into the next without much distinction, bringing with it a dreary procession of aches and pains. The eyes grow dimmer, the ears duller, the arms weaker, and the legs less steady. Even eating and drinking become chores requiring more effort for less pleasurable return. And then there's the steady reminder that every passing day brings one that much closer to the inescapable event horizon of death. With such a dreary prospect, how should we approach the end of life? More importantly, how should we approach those who are much nearer the end than we? The answer depends on how we've approached other aspects of life, particularly the relationships we've established, or should have established. If our lives have involved close interaction with people, especially intimate relationships with a close circle of family and friends, then we'll have learned something about how to walk with others through the stages of our earthly sojourn. For example, if we've enjoyed good relationships with our parents, or even with one parent, then we have a foundation on which to stand as the final years approach. No doubt our Heavenly Father had that in mind when He commanded, "Honor your father and mother, so that your days may be long upon the land which Adonai your God is giving you." Many centuries later, old King Solomon echoed this commandment with a proverb, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Yet many have had no such relationship with parents, and that's a tragedy. How are they to know what to do, or even that there's something expected of them? Here we must rely on our Creator for help. Nothing is beyond His redemption. Above all, He Himself is our Father, and is able to parent us far better than our earthly mothers and fathers, if we will let Him. He can put elders in our lives to show us how to live life with grace and mercy, compassion and love, wisdom and discernment. Regarding our elders, He says, "You are to rise up in the presence of the gray-haired and honor the presence of the elderly. So you will fear your God. I am Adonai." Our God never commands us to do a thing we are unable to accomplish. He always provides a way, a motivation, a model. In the case of this commandment, we may have some instruction in the last recorded conversation between Messiah Yeshua and Peter. "Amen, amen, I tell you. When you were younger, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." Now this He said to indicate by what kind of death Peter was going to glorify God. And after this, Yeshua said to him, "Follow me." The common understanding is that Yeshua referred here to Peter's last days as a prisoner of Rome, when he was not free to go as he pleased. But could we expand the literal meaning of our Messiah's words and apply them to life in general? All of us, if we live long enough, will be in such a condition that we need help for even the simple things, like getting dressed. It may even be that we are no longer able to live where we want, but must go to a place that provides the care that helps us function in our declining years. Hopefully, such a place would be filled with new friends and good experiences, but most likely it will be a place of someone else's choosing, because we are not able or willing to make the choice ourselves. Think about that for a moment, and then ponder how it applies when those close to us grow so old they cannot care any more for themselves. What do we do when they cannot be polite and considerate, nor keep themselves clean, nor perhaps even remember what day it is? We do as we would have others do for us. We exercise compassion, and we allow love to cover a multitude of offenses. When she asks, for the sixth time in an hour, what day it is, remember who taught you the days of the week. When he still doesn't understand his checkbook register after you've explained it repeatedly, remember who taught you to manage money. When she dissolves in tears yet again at losing the love of her life, even years after his funeral, remember who dissolved in tears when the one who filled his childhood existence left him at the schoolhouse door for the first time. When he refuses to leave the house that has been his home for half a century, remember who compelled you to leave so you could start life on your own as a young adult. When she takes so long to eat food she's found distasteful, and even then makes a mess of it, remember who insisted you eat your vegetables and then cleaned up your mess time and again. When he takes so long to go anywhere and then gets anxious and immediately wants to go home, remember who hurried you along in your dawdling and insisted you stay with the family until everyone was ready to leave. When she can't understand why the new place you want her to move is so much better, when she can't see beyond the present reality, remember who helped you learn how to imagine new realities and to dream big dreams. Life is hard. Why should we expect the end of life to be any different? We can't prevent that final event horizon from engulfing us, but we can help one another through the journey.
Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Or will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?